Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Mutwaab is a sixth generation folk healer. He is the author of The Hood Laws and The Immortality Guide. Minister Mutwaab presides over the Nigger Church, where he provides ancient advice for modern people. His ancient traditional teachings empower his members and clients to apply their latent abilities to heal themselves of disease. Dr. Mutwaab advises people from all walks of life, which has earned him the title as the People's Healer. Welcome to African Conversations, Dr. Mutwaab.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Great, appreciate you coming on. Can you tell us about the broad nature of your research, which led to your two books, The Hood Laws and The Immortality Guide?
You know, it's just a book that really just came out of a lot of the life that I live. I'm from the South and Tennessee originally, but my family lived all around Mississippi, Arkansas, all through there, Alabama. Father was moving around a lot, Rolling Stone type thing. And so he was always into healing, you know. Back in that day, they would call him a root worker, you know what I mean? So the healing and stuff was done with whatever was around, fruits or herbs or, you know, shit that was in the environment, the dirt, whatever, you know what I mean? So, and whether it was on people or animals, a lot of times because animals got sick a lot, people had a lot more farms during that time, still in the late 50s, early 60s, coming up through there, even into the 70s in the South. And so he was always using these type of folk healing techniques on that. So as I got older, I decided to write a book that dealt with what I call healing niggas. The original title was called the Immortal Nigger, subtitled The Immortality Guy, which is the title I wound up putting on it. But so I wanted something out there that my people, I felt, could use to heal themselves when they couldn't get the doctors and stuff, because that's what real folk healing is about. How can you heal yourself with, you know, stuff that's just around in your refrigerator, in your house, your backyard, and, you know, and the way they got healthcare nowadays, you know, nigga can't even hardly afford to heal himself. So you better or need to know how to take care of yourself. So that's really what was the outgrowth of the book.
Yeah, the book is awesome. I noticed even dealing with allopathic medical establishment that I found that I was better off not having them to provide me with their quote-unquote solutions, because, you know, it involved all of the dangerous drugs and just, you know, working with natural substances, you always had favorable consequences. And I think the good thing is people are beginning to realize that to a significant degree, and which, you know, makes, you know, people like you more valuable in terms of, not that they you were less valuable before, but more recognized value. Let me just say it that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, could you tell us more about how your research developed and led maybe to the formation of the Nigga Church?
Well, I tell you, as I often say, I'm a sixth generation nigga on my father's side. And, you know, I've always felt that I was born a nigga and gonna die one, gonna die a nigga. And that's how my father identified himself. My father was a real radical nigga for his times. You know what I mean? He was studying the Bible and chopping it up, as he called it, same word I use today, the way you weren't supposed to. Niggas were just supposed to be good followers and, you know, not scholars. And, but he started doing a lot of things that you weren't supposed to be doing back in that time, and it got him thrown out of a lot of so-called churches. And, you know, so that's why we was always moving a lot. But anyway, that type of, you know, that type of thinking and seeing that type of performance from somebody, you know, shaped my own view about how there's so much bullshit out here, and that the people that they call the niggas, who's supposed to be the lowest of society, them same niggas is the same ones who invented all kind of shit that is in society right now, you know what I mean? But they don't get no credit for it. So, you know, being a person who is always kind of going against the vanguard, I felt like, you know, niggas need to get credit. So I'm going to start reviving that. You know what I mean? I'm going to start reviving that concept. Not black power, nigga power. All the things.
Right.
To me, it's a spell word to make, you know, make motherfuckers uncomfortable. And that's something else. My father cussed a lot, and he passed that gift on down to me, too.
You know?
See, there's a plus in this motherfucker. So,
you know, it is interesting. I was thinking about how interesting it is when you said making people uncomfortable, because, you know, they spend their time trying to make us uncomfortable.
Right. 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 Make you uncomfortable,
yeah,
with something that, you know, when you really start to look at it, because they never really, in the modern age, they didn't teach niggas how to study. They didn't want us to know how to study. But when you start freeing yourself and start looking at a lot of the words that these words that they call English, and you get curious about it, you know, my father showed me to just start taking the shit apart, boy. Take it apart like a machine. That's what he's always said. Take that shit apart like a machine. Look at it. See where the nuts and the bolts are into something. You know, a lot of the shit that white folks are trying to feed you. When you start to find out that it's got all types of things that's wrong with it. You know what I mean? And to this day, you know, you can see that, you know, white folks, I call them hunkies, they don't know how to build shit. And they don't know how to teach shit either. So all the knowledge that's out there that they have given niggas, most of it is wrong and it don't fit us, including how to heal ourselves, which takes me back to my book. You know what I mean? I started realizing that we have been taught to accept a medical paradigm that does not heal niggas. You know what I mean? It don't fit. They're trying to fit the nigga body into the white body, and it don't work. You see what I'm saying? All the model that they have that they talk about supposed to heal us, they don't really work. There is some crossover, you know what I mean? A little lap over, so you'll find some things, but it's like a shoe, you know what I mean? Niggas need a size 11 shoe, and they got 10 and 3 quarters. It's still off. Cones,
yeah,
hurting and shit. You know what I mean? They're forcing it in there.
Right.
But we still hurting.
Right, we still hurting, because it's right. It's not what we need. And it's about time that we start realizing the difference between us and them, and really getting in tune with, you know, taking what we need and using the natural resources that you described, as your father taught you, to you know, sustain ourselves. But what was your take? I mean, which interesting is like on these types of niggas that don't want to be niggas, that want to pretend that they not, and want to eradicate the word nigga and massively ban and restrict you and I from using the word nigga.
You know, I don't I don't really mess with people who ain't niggas, primarily. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that don't embrace their niggerhood. I don't really mess with those type of people, you know what I mean? So, when I see people getting too comfortable, because we have to remember, anybody that's listening to this, you have to remember that we have been shamed into most of the positions that we take today, philosophically speaking. You know what I mean? We have been shamed into that. So now when somebody says the word nigger, if you don't know what it means, you know what I mean? You cringe. You know what I mean? You cringe. So if I'm around my children, I use the word nigger around my children. They've always known me. Baba, he ain't got no sense. You see what I'm saying? Come here, little nigger. You know, I'll say that somewhere if we in public with them, especially if there's some white folks around, just to make them uncomfortable. But so I'm that type of nigger. But the thing is, when you get people who get so high up, it's like they get they really get ashamed of that word. You know what I mean? They only want to be called a word that white folks have endorsed on the application. You know, when they give you African American, then you know you see Negroes, they're getting comfortable. You see what I'm saying? They're getting whatever they want to color, whatever the words that white society has signed off on. That's what a lot of, you know, so-called black people get comfortable with. But when you take it and start to embrace it, something that they view as negative, and turn it into a positive, because it always has been positive, then many people who have embraced the white status quo are very uncomfortable with that. So I don't, you know, so I don't really, I'm not, I always say, don't invite me around polite company. You know, them niggas that eat with the right fork and shit, don't invite me around no more. You know what I mean? Because I'm using my fingers when I'm eating.
That's fine. I agree with you.
Lick the plate and everyone's going down.
Yeah, out of the juice out. I want to talk about, because you raised an interesting point about the Caucasian white men endorsing the use of the word nigga. Because we can look at a period of time when, let's say, 19th, early 20th century, on up into the last 20 years, nigga was used when black people should treat ourselves more civilly. We were more kind to each other. We weren't, you know, killing each other real bad, you know, like at the rate we began, let's say, in the 80s and the 90s, right?
Yeah.
And then the word nigga became something else. It became like this term of hatred, apparently, in some cases. I'm not saying this way, because sometimes they use it in a positive way, even in rap, people saying it with love and whatnot for their fellow man. But the point is, the anti-nigger coalition of the black anti-nigger coalition was on the vanguard of campaigning to get us to stop using it, because it somehow become, we had taken it and started in using it differently, and the white man or didn't like it, because they had turned it around from being a blessing to us to a curse. And since we started blessing each other with the word nigga, then they saying no more nigga talk.
Right.
And now they to the point they got Paul Mooney saying he won't say a nigga when a white man said and insulted some people using the term nigga, and then he became pressured to not say nigga no more. And he been saying nigga after Richard Pryor stopped saying nigga. And to me, I saw that it was a very strong political move going on, and it appears to me to be extremely dangerous. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, Paul Mooney was, you know, for a long time one of my favorite comedians, but is when he sold out, or as I say, bought in, you know, I was kind of through with that, because I could see it was really what you just said. It was a political thing, you see what I'm saying? So that's what they do. They take people who've been at the head or the vanguard of some movement or whatever, and Paul Mooney was the head of the nigger movement. I had to take the motherfucker over. After he dropped the torch, me and Eddie Griffin, you know what I mean? I was like, shit, this motherfucker dropped the motherfucking torch. Now I got to pick up. I wouldn't even plan on picking the motherfucker up. You know, but when Paul Mooney went by the wayside, and then they buried, they said they were going to bury the nigger in Harlem, which was apropos, because niggers should be ruling Harlem. So they ain't doing nothing but give a nigger strength when they buried the word nigger in Harlem. Good for us. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then Paul Mooney did his thing, and, you know, it's like Gil Scott Heron. When Gil Scott Heron died, that was a nail in the coffin for me, because he wrote a book a long time ago called The Nigger Factor. I said, you know what, I'm going to get the nigger church going then. And I had been thinking about it for the longest, but when he did that, I was like, I'm bringing it on out. See, we're going to have a nigger movement in America if I got anything to do with it. Care if it's 24 motherfuckers in that. We're going to be the nigger church. See, so I'm not going to let it die. In fact, niggers like Lazarus, come forth, nigger. Yeah, I look at it. So I think it's very political when they, when you see the things that they do in regards to words when they do words and movements and things like that. It's like white people always know what's best for niggas. And why is that?
Right, that's the question we must ask because we should not be let's say pandering to them and how we relate to ourselves. That shows us that we are really don't want to create power within our own community for the benefit, exclusive benefit for our community. Because I heard two different lectures, one was Steve Koch, another one attorney Alton Maddox, and they both used the term nigger in the lecture, but I'm going to say the latter attorney Maddox, when he said it, he apologized for saying it. And I was like, how is a black man who is going to have the social pressure for him to not say nigger publicly, even though he was talking very casually, and he said it, and it may have occurred as an immediate reaction from the audience that, you know, he was okay, you know, he apologized, though he made a faux pas. But the point is, they treating having us act like we white folks.
Right.
Like, you know, like we did something wrong with the word nigga. We didn't do nothing with it. Bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Other than, only thing we may have done bad with it was use nigga in the same negative way that the European used nigga to talk to niggas. See? That's the only crime I can say we committed in using the word nigga. And instead, we should restore the true meaning of nigga and then celebrate the heritage, the ancient heritage of the word nigga, what it means, and restore the vibratory appreciation of the vibration of blackness, which, you know, really what I mean. We talking about nigga, we talking about moor, we talking about kush, kish. All these terms still mean black. Melanin is Greek, melanos for black. All these terms mean black. Ethiopia, all these terms mean black. Ham, cam, all these variations of black burnt. And we got to embrace all of it and not try to throw one away and keep one for you, the white man's political benefit to use a term to as a, against us. Then we turn to a blessing. Then all of a sudden, then we gonna outlaw it and censor each other, you know?
Right.
Then we got to bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back and don't let it die. Keep it here.
Right, because like I think Eddie Griffin said, he said when they're trying to kill the word niggas, they're trying to kill the niggas.
Right. He also said niggas can see shit coming from around the corner. You know what I mean?
Right.
We see around corners and shit. You know what I mean? And we don't get enough, you know, we don't get enough credit. And yeah, there is a little tongue in cheek in the motherfucker, but, you know, at the same time, it's just, you know, it's some seriousness to it too, because it's just a word that has just become so inflammatory that everybody just jumps on it. Most polite motherfuckers just jump on it, you know, and then without even any thought. It's like, yeah, you know, we've made it, you know, we in, you know what I mean? I got my degree, goddammit. I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Half these motherfuckers
the
being taught. They dumb as a motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Right.
I go to there's a school down here, it's called, where I'm at, is Washington University. A lot of times they have these little free seminars and things you can go up to, you know, and I go up to the motherfucker high, you know what I'm saying, because I imbibe a little of the greeny green every now and then, the collard greens, the healing grass.
Right.
You know, may take a little wine up in the mug or something. They don't know. They don't check you like that. I'm sipping in the back, motherfucker. You know, and just listening to these professors holding court on all of the shit that they be talking about, because allegedly they know everything. That's what they told me. They know everything. So I go up there and listen to them, man, and these cats just, you know, they just wrong. That's the only thing I can say about it. And when I ask questions, I have been asked politely to leave a number of times over the years,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the questions that you ask them, or you being too confrontational with the shit that you're asking them about whatever they're talking about, whether it's Alzheimer, whether it's Parkinson's disease, and H1N1, all of this shit that, you know, that this leading university is in on, and they have all of their top people come out and talk about so-called diseases and shit, is wrong. Then they, when they can't answer the question, or they think it's confrontational because a white man, one thing a white man don't want is a nigga asking him no questions.
Mm-hmm.
They
That's
do
right.
not want a nigga asking them no questions about shit.
Nothing.
Especially
right.
if it's pointed and it makes sense. You know what I mean? But all of that's because
right.
the way this thing has been set up, and white people know what's the best thing for a nigga and how the nigga should be taken care of, how a nigga should think. As Carter G. Woodson say, when he tell you to go get in your place, you just go get in the motherfucker and don't ask no questions about it.
That's right.
I ain't finna do that.
Right. And
none of his agents. I ain't finna do it for none of his agents either, that black or white, none of them that believe in wholehearted in what he talking about. So I'm here
right.
to destroy all of that shit. With every word out of my mouth is a bullet in the head of those who believe and strongly in what the European folks have told so-called niggas how to think and what to believe. I ain't for none of that.
Right. Because Brother Coakley told us back in the 90s that many of these so-called Afrocentric research foundations have been getting money from the Heritage Foundation, which is the white
mm-hmm.
supremacist intellectual think. They fund publishers and writers to write books, you know. And they giving money to black folks. Now, he never did disclose in a video publicly which scholars had been receiving what monies.
Mm.
But, you know, I would love to have a talk with the brother, elder brother, about that. But I see what you're saying, because they still trying to couch, drape or disguise white supremacy in
mm-hmm.
kente cloth and black line and using all the lingo to get us to accept their action items and agendas, like, for instance, vegetarianism and veganism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you know that they got a great push towards having a meatless society.
Oh, yeah.
They put out a movie, Soylent Green, in the 73, 74. I listened to this lecture by this yogi. He's on YouTube. He was talking about in 2060 they want to have a total meatless society. See,
mm-hmm.
it's something with this no eating of meat, and they really want to get people on that hard. I was on a thread was watching some Hindus argue about the Rig Veda, and they were talking about how the ancient people, the Aryans and the Vedas and Naga people, or the nigger people over in India and the Dravidians, how they was eating meat and how they had revised a lot of texts to reflect that them people was vegetarians. And they want to, could you tell us more about what factors are in meat and how it affect human cognition and aggressiveness, and that, you know, how this could possibly benefit those that seek to conquer the future?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, back in the day, now having said that, you know, back in the day, I was a vegan and vegetarian for damn near 20 years going through that, and damn near killed myself, right? And when I started looking into it, now look, they tell you that hindsight is 20/20, and you go, you know, experience is the best teacher and all that. Some experiences I can do without the teaching, though. And damn near killed myself
right.
with that one. But having did that, you start getting high up in these organizations and things of that nature, man, and you look back on them, and then you start investigating them, and it goes back to what you just said about there's a a perverse movement been going on since the 60s to get people off of meat, off of meat. And a white boy who wrote a book telling on his own people, which I'm the type of white boys I love when they put shit out that and they tell the truth on their own people.
Mm-hmm.
They've been hiding up in these societies and doing all this so-called secret shit that they didn't tell nobody about. William Cooper wrote Behold the Pale Horse.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, he talks about, in a lecture, which was then turned into an essay, he talked about how the government had decided that they had a meeting with, they had pulled together a think tank. Like they have the CFR, they have all of these think tank organizations around the country in which they bring their best people to, you know, gnaw on whatever problem that they want to solve. One of the problems they had been eating on was what were they going to do about population. And think tank came back and informed the government and said, well, listen, there's about six or seven things that you're going to have to do if you want to make sure that population is going to remain under control. Long story short, one of the main things was that they're going to have to take people off of meat. That's one of the main things they're going to have to do. Take people off of meat. This was in the 40s when this shit went down now. See?
Mm-hmm.
So they had already foresaw coming out of the Second World War, which is essentially the Second Industrial Revolution, that population was going to be a control as far as they was concerned. These hidden ones, or the, just to use that word, Illuminati or the higher-ups, I call them the diabolical ones. They had already foresaw this in their numbers. And they realized that one of the things they was going to have to do is find a way to damn near force people into death, right, or to accept death so that it wouldn't even seem like it was death. So we start getting these dietary measures. All the shit that we have around now, their genesis essentially started right around in the 40s and shit. You know what I mean? With they had different names in like the FDA and the Food and Drug Administration, and they were called the Nutrition Board or some shit in the 40s, right?
Right.
Now we have, their goal was to, they start setting up charts and shit to show people how to eat. You know what I mean? Then they start putting a heavy emphasis on veganism and vegetarianism in the 60s when the whole protest movement came around with the hippies and shit. Start taking people off of meat. All of that was concerted. A lot of the people that you would find with the head of those movements were essentially spies and agents. They were key figures in the head of the movement, the people that other people, the plebes and shit, would easily follow. You know what I mean? So you'll find like your musicians and your stars and shit, the head of all these organizations, making it seem like it's the cool thing to do or the right thing to do and so on and so forth. They start taking motherfuckers off of meat. Now, I guarantee you, the corollary is when you start going back to the 60s and looking at when people start coming off meat, you'll start finding all kind of diseases start springing up within, you know, 10 to 15 years after that. Why? Because they start taking iron out of the bloodstream. And that's one of the main ways you kill off any motherfucking people. When you start taking iron out of the bloodstream, you can't live, because iron on this planet, you have to have hemoglobin, iron in your blood cell. On another planet, let's just make the shit up and say the moon, but or Mars or some shit, you may need magnesium. On Mars, you may need copper. That's the main thing. That's the grounding nutrient that has to be in the bloodstream. If it's not there, the person will die. You know what I mean? Or if you're in the bottom of the ocean, you may need a whole bunch of copper in your bloodstream. You'll find this out when you get certain amphibians that are deep in the ocean. When you bring them up, they don't have blood. They have copper. That means they don't have iron. They have copper as their main ingredient, so they should be blue. With people on this planet, if we don't have iron, right, we will die, because it's the grounding ingredient that you need on this planet. And so as a lack of that has been one of the main reasons that people start getting all of the type sicknesses that they have and dying off that much quicker, because you start taking iron out of the system, you start getting vegan and vegetarianism, and it's killing people. You know, your adrenal glands can't really function. It's a lot of shit you're going to have behind you start getting low on iron. And we can see that when people get sickle cell and that lupus, all of those types of things have to do with iron, iron deficiency or lack of iron, pernicious anemia, so on and so forth. See, so this was a very concerted effort to get people off of meat. But the average motherfucker who ain't really looking at this thing as political and that deep think it's just a healthy lifestyle. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're going to feel a lot better initially at first over the years. Why? Because as a rule, iron is heavy. Now, it may not feel like it to your body, but see, this is a very subtle thing that's happening. When you take iron, when you start to take iron out of the blood cell, a nigga can feel lighter, actually. You know what I mean? Physically, mentally, I'm actually feeling, well, shit, the iron's being removed from you. The shit is heavy. It's less like any other type of iron, but it's chemical. You see? And you may get a charge and start to feel good over a period of time, and you can get bits and pieces of iron from, say, greens and things like that, so you may not detect it for 25 or 30 years, like in my case, and in a lot of other people's cases that I've since come across. So you can get certain types of iron, what I call a hard iron maybe, from, say, vegetables, dark greens, and things of that nature. But that's not the type of iron that you need by a lot. You need a soft iron that you can only get from the blood of another mammal, another biological life form that has blood in them, real blood. You know what I mean? It's like breastfeeding. You know, your mama's breastfeed, you're getting blood. You get, look, blood brought you here, you're going to have to blood. And blood is what's going to keep you here. If you don't get enough proper blood, you're getting ready to get away from here. End of story. But you can't talk to vegans and vegetarians about that because they're invested in this whole idea that not eating meat is the only way to be healthy. Not to stay here. They don't see that. But to be healthy. And that's not the only way to be healthy. There's a lot of other shit coming to it. Your blood type, your ethnic type. Niggas need soft iron. That's the bottom line. That's the rule.
Okay. Well, I'd like to continue this discussion on the other side. And we're going to take a quick break for a moment. And we'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Join the Woman's Song Community Experience every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. We will do the thing that many think cannot be done.
Listen to Love in Black with Charles and Jalavette on the Tribal Family Station on blogtalkradio.com.
There we will share our experiences and our insights on marriage and love, sex, respect, and honor. We're on every Thursday evening on the Tribal Family Station.
African Knowledge Beyond the Book appears every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a literary society dedicated to the study of African-based psychoanalytical texts. We hope you will join us as we delve into the inner working of our African consciousness. African Knowledge Beyond the Book, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com.
And we're back. Dr. Mutwa.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd like to continue on where you were. You were talking about how the nigga needs the soft iron from animals that carry blood. You can pick up right there?
Yeah, I was just saying that niggas need iron. You know what I mean? We need soft iron that you can only get from, you know, another animal. You know what I mean? You are essentially a high, very high form of animal, and you need that. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about in the sense of animation, a high form of animation. So that's what we're talking about when we use the word animal for those people who get bent out of shape. I ain't no dog. We ain't talking about that. We just talk about animation, the movement of the human plant. You know what I mean? You really are a human plant that has morphed into a form of animal. That's what we really are. You're a human plant. You know, you need the same things, air or oxygen, water, sun, and good soil. Same thing a plant needs, the human plant needs. See what I'm saying? So, but we have morphed and taken on or de-evolved, really, into the beings that we are. And as a result of that, being on this planet, you need iron to stay grounded. If you don't have iron to stay grounded, which means keeping you here, you can't live. You can't live. And you're going to have a lot of different problems that may not manifest themselves as things as lack of iron, but you thinking you're healthy, right? But, you know, your relationships are totally fucked up because your mental is all messed up. But you're a vegan. You may need some iron, nigga.
Right.
That may be what your problem is, to help you keep grounded in your decisions and all that. You got to have iron. It's just that simple. And here's the flip side of all of this, right, is that you really don't need a lot of meat to maintain that iron. See, that's the thing. But most people who have been vegans and vegetarians for a long time, as soon as you mention meat, they have a knee-jerk reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't need to eat that much meat to maintain your grounding here on the planet. But point number three is this whole thing that we call planet Earth is getting ready to move in through the what they call the photon belt, because changes happen on this planet every 26,000 years or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
The energies that are constantly hitting the planet speed up and they slow down. So now what's getting ready to happen is that as per the cycles go, where this planet is getting ready to go into a powerful cycle where the elements, ions and whatnot, are getting ready to hit the Earth at a higher pace than they ever have. And so this is what they call going through the photon belt. So when that happens, everything is going to speed up molecularly a taste. And as a result of that, you're going to have a higher requirement for those small nutrients that are always circulating in the bloodstream, like iron, like strontium, zinc, and so on and so forth. If you don't have that, say it again.
These trace minerals are going to be needed to be in the nutrition at higher quantities than in the previous era.
Yeah, than any time, you know what I mean? When you don't have that, you're going to start hearing seeing cases. We've already had one of spontaneous combustion, which means when a person spontaneously combusts, you're looking at somebody who, for some particular reason, has become void of trace mineral, very void of trace mineral, because if that's what holds you together. You got to have carbon, and this was a white dude, so it kind of makes sense, but this can happen to anybody. And once you start missing out on a lot of trace minerals, which can come through the types of food that you're eating, you know, particularly if you've been eating diets that are high in veganism, you can start to become deficient. See what I'm saying? So
right. You
really have to watch that. And one of the other things that nobody else is talking about, and this may upset a lot of people, but a lot of niggas who are getting heavy into veganism, they turn it into women. They turn into women. They becoming soft. They crying and shit. Not that there's nothing wrong with being a woman, but that's a woman's thing. I mean, they're becoming there. And the reason what I'm saying is their estrogen levels are becoming too high as a man. And as a result of that, they're becoming as emotional as the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Not good when niggas need to be manning up and shit.
Right. And they try to make the note that, well, since the commercial meat industry, they use so many hormones in the meat, well, then therefore you shouldn't eat meat. No, that I see that they should try to strive to acquire high quality meat and eat it appropriately. And by studying nutritional anthropology, which, you know, means There are researchers that actually look at the diets of ancient cultures, and by looking at that, which I don't, I occasionally read those kinds of reports, but I mainly read the ancient texts themselves about just their day-to-day life or whatever kind of activities, how much meat are they or animals they may be slaughtering for a particular feast, and you can see that they're not eating the quantity of meat that the Western American Western diet is accustomed. So, and they're eating pure grass-fed, you know, lamb, sheep, you know, cattle and goat, and no hormones, none of that craziness. And they're not even eating a whole lot of meat. And those people are free and they're strong, and we are oppressed and weak. And they should be able to make the distinctions. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, you got the Messiah when Kenya been drinking blood for shit. I don't know how long.
Right.
Eat straight meat. Tall as a motherfucker.
Right. They drank
right. And when the British came over there and said, let's go over there and get these weak niggers, the Messiah read them straight up out that motherfucker. They were scared of them. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So,
right.
Veganism is really, and here's the other thing. Veganism did not, like I said, did not really catch on in popularity to become a model to what we know about until until white boys started taking over the culture and the writings and all of that. See, we don't never get that. I mean, as far back as you want to go, niggas have been eating meat. You can't hardly ever find a time on the planet in the past 2 million years, and I talk about this in my book, where niggas were not eating meat. You ain't going to find it. People will tell you all day long about veganism, how long these people live, yet. And this is one thing that most vegans can't get around, but they always try to come up with some bullshit. Yet, all the longest lived people in the world right now eat meat. Eat a little meat. Whoever, pull them up. Asian, Chinese, they eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here, motherfucker. They eat a little pork. All right? They don't eat a lot of pork, but they do eat a lot. They do eat pork. They eat meat. People talking about the 7-day Adventists, they're not the longest lived people in the world. Them motherfuckers average 80, 77, whatever. But yet, still, many of them eat a lot of meat. And if not, they are not strict vegans. They eat dairy.
They do. That's
meat
right.
byproducts.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, there's nowhere in the world right now you find anybody that's among the longest lived people in the world. They eat meat. They tell us that the longest lived motherfucking world was a nigga named Charlie Smith, 137 and a half years old from Florida, ate chocolate and drank 7-Up. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah. He
liked sardines too, though.
Right.
He ate little sardines. That was his thing. But he didn't eat a lot. See, and it's really, at the end of the day, the most important thing is not so much what you eat. That does matter. It's what you don't eat. Fasting is more important than eating.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's one of the main things. It's another point that I try to get across in my book about being an immortal nigga. Is you need to give your, it's really most important to give your body a break from all eating, period.
Right. I enjoy fasting, actually. I can get some, when I initially do a fast, perhaps, I think maybe once or twice a year for like maybe at least 2 days, a day or two,
right.
Maybe at least one
right.
day.
And right.
I feel like I'm getting so much done. Of course, I do, you know, meditation, prayer, whatever, add the spiritual element to it, and give my body a break from any strenuous activity,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I feel some difference going on. I feel like I'm becoming more efficient or something.
Right.
Do you feel like something like that is going on? You relate
right.
to that?
Right. Well, there you go. That's the benefit. And see, this is how, and just to show you something, I'm not totally against veganism because I see veganism as a form of healing that can be used depending on where a person is coming from. What I'm against is veganism as a total lifestyle for 10, 20, 15, 20 years because your body was made to eat meat. You can't take the body that long without meat, without starting to get into some dangerous areas. Now, many people have done it, you know what I mean? I went a long time, okay? It harmed me, and it harmed thousands of others. I deal with them all the time, people who've been former vegans, and they come to me, their adrenal glands are burnt out, hair's falling out, can't have no children, all kind of shit. See what I'm saying? Other people can go longer periods of time, and then they want to hold this person up as the poster child. But see, my uncle went 35 years, and he was a vegan, right? I bet his dick was 2 inches, though. He didn't tell you that. He didn't tell you that, the side effect. You don't see this motherfucker at night and shit, and all the other side effects that happen from veganism. Shrink your nuts and shit. You want to have some children? You better start eating some meat, nigga. You hear me? These white women out here, they can't hardly have children now being veganism. Why? They done stripped all the fat out the womb. Everywhere in the world, if you want to have children, you better start eating some fat. Even if you primarily eating veganism. When women get ready to have children all over the world, they have to increase the levels of fat. And the only way you're going to get it is from butter.
Animal fat, right?
Lard, animal fat. You see what I'm saying? You cannot have
they're scared
children.
Of that.
They scared of that. That's white women probably not. That's why they can't have children.
They don't realize
they no
that
fat
is the building blocks of life. And all of this anti-fat conversation that we hear is really anti-life or pro-death.
There you
go. Until we start putting together all of this anti-fat, baby killing, you know, veganism, strict veganism. It's a whole systematic ideology of death that they are trying to sell you. And until we wake up and say, okay, veganism can be cool, certain some days a week I don't even eat meat. You have to have meat every day. You're saying that you can have a vegan dinner, you can have a vegan breakfast, you can even go without meat for a month. But the point is, you need to eat some meat. And perhaps maybe many vegans are eating meat, but saying that they're not eating meat. But the point is, there's no need to go through that charade because they know they feel better when they eat some meat, but they're ashamed to admit it because they done bought into some doctrine that told them that meat was bad. And so they feel like they're some kind of addict whenever they eat meat.
Right.
Can you speak to that?
A lot of them are some disingenuous motherfuckers, and I know hundreds of them from being in that lifestyle. They say they are a vegetarian. They say, they're not so much a vegetarian as they are starchitarian. You see what I'm saying? They may not be eating no meat, but they killing flour. You see what I'm saying? Soy. They killing that shit trying to get full because the body is starving. Most people who go into veganism and vegetarianism, number one, they go into it for the wrong reason. They don't go into it with no wisdom. They go into it totally because somebody told them, hey, it's how you be healthy. And they also coming from a position where they may have been on drugs and all this type of thing, had a real bad lifestyle, and so it's a cold turkey type of thing where they sweep over into veganism, vegetarianism. But that's really the wrong reason because they don't have the proper understanding of this thing. And then now they get over there and they become a starchitarian and they have different types of problems. You know what I mean? So they're always agitated and cold and shit because you're uncomfortable. Many vegans and vegetarians are diabetic. Why? Because they're eating too much starch. You see? So they don't understand how to properly eat for themselves, their bloodstream, you know what I mean? And they're just really feeding themselves based on what somebody else had told them. Well, you know, my life has improved because I'm a vegan. Maybe. Maybe. But this person here may not be able to do that, what you're doing. And a lot of these motherfuckers who are selling people on vegan and vegan, they just straight up lying. They straight up lying, talking about how good their life is and all. It's just, I mean, I've seen it. If you didn't see it with your own eyes, you'd be like, you know, I can't believe this person just told another person this thing straight up. It's like they're selling a lifestyle like a product. You know what I mean? They're trying to get everybody on it. So they can be seem like this is the way to go when it's really not the way to go. And they just trying to kill niggas, trying to tell a nigga he shouldn't eat meat. Ridiculous.
Right. And it appears that there's some kind of, this person has been hired as some kind of propagandist, not that person, but these persons are propagandists for this lifestyle. Because if you look at it, if we look at it like we're understanding that, I mean, they don't apparently at the superficial level gain by selling me on eating or not eating meat, and so what's the big deal? But why, you know, they're pointing, they're strong, fervent advocates for a dangerous, prolonged way of nutrition, then mm-hmm. it appears that they may be tools of some sort, whether suspecting or unsuspecting tools, which, you know, we will have to probably further take closer note.
Do you know any all nigga vegans in the world?
Mm-mm.
Right, I had a motherfucker tell me, well, that's another, you got to watch these motherfuckers. They'll hit you with, well, what about the Nanu tribe? Right, I'm going to give you some abstract name ain't nobody ever heard of, tell you, oh yeah, it's a tribe over, it's about, right, you go investigate, it's two motherfuckers.
Two people, right.
You know what I mean? Two
right,
motherfuckers. You know, two big head motherfuckers been over there eating leaves for so long, they don't even look regular. They ain't regular niggas.
They ugly.
You know what I mean?
Nobody want they women.
Right. It's like, no, them ain't no vegans, nigga. Them monsters. Have you seen the horror movie, motherfucker?
Right. Ain't nobody looking for their women.
Right.
Nobody want a marriage.
Hey, this nigga ain't. If them no vegans, they ain't finna. I know they ain't getting no pussy. If that's what a vegan is.
Because they don't want none.
Nigga, keep fucking that hole in the tree if that's a vegan.
Now,
get some tree nuts, nigga.
I want to take what you just said and transition that right over into this. We're talking about how the vegan loses his hormone, you know, not functioning properly, and how
right.
that this nutritional attack on the black man, the nigga, is affecting his gender identification. Now, we know there are various methods and tools. Like we said, veganism is one. It's not that it's one thing that they're doing, but it's a concerted attack with multiple stratagems all applied in concert. So we got veganism
right.
as one weapon. We got processed sugar as another one. We have marijuana as another one. We got, you know what I'm saying, all these means of affecting the brain chemistry of people to make men have feminine brains and women have masculine brains. Steve
right.
Harvey, he released a book saying, think like a man, act like a woman. That's craziness. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a literary attack, a philosophical attack on proper gender identification roles. Can you speak to that, brother, about this particular movement?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that's what I was alluding to earlier. In fact, you straight out said, which is that a lot of this veganism is, you know, it's fucking with niggas' hormones. You know, the levels of testosterone. You see, once again, you know, when I be talking to, you know, my niggas in these different lectures and whatever, you know, man, a lot of them be vegans. You know, when they come there, and so many of them get upset when I'm talking, because they feel like I'm making a direct attack on them, you know, when I say things like that about how when you start to change over, when you start that eating pretty much eating vegetables and even fruit is really a feminine sort of existence, you know, it's a let's look at it another way. Let's look at it another way. If you go into the wild, primarily every animal that eats leaves, right, quasi-veganism or fruit is preyed upon.
Mm-hmm.
And their eyes on the side of their head. A lot of people ain't looked at this. Most of the motherfuckers that do that, their eyes on the side of their head. Why? Because they are most of the type of animals that are preyed upon and they soft, right? They meek, and as a result, their eyes on the side of their head. Why? Because they need that peripheral vision so that they won't be ate. So, however, the evolution set the shit up so that it's like, you know what? I got to get this motherfucker something so that he is not killed, have them. Because if their eyes was mostly in front of their head, they would not be able to see, motherfucker, hey, I'm sneak up on the side of you, motherfucker. I'm finna get ready to get up in that ass. You don't see me over here in this corner, right? But
right.
This motherfucker's eyes on the side of the head, you try to sneak up on a motherfucking deer. You won't get within 40 feet, that motherfucker, Harley. Boom! He out them woods, you hear me? Why? His eyes on the side of his motherfucking head, you know what I mean? It's like you got eyes in the back of his head. When they on the side of his head, them motherfuckers can go to the back damn near. You can't even sneak up from behind on to get that deer meat. You can't get that deer pussy from behind. You're going to have to talk to him or something. But you ain't finna sneak up on no deer and get him. You ain't finna get Bambi like that. All these motherfuckers are like that. That's primarily eating grass and shit and whatever. They soft and they probably put their eyes on the side of their head because it evolved so they can protect themselves. Now you take the motherfuckers who eat meat, who do the praying. Where are they eyes? In the front. Because they eat meat. Just like niggas. Our eyes in the front. If I see a nigga, these motherfuckers keep on eating these leaves and shit, their eyes going to be on the side of their head, man. I'm telling you.
Now, the detractors could probably point to a chimpanzee and a gorilla. Their eyes are in the front. They have high muscle mass.
They all eat meat.
They all eat meat, though.
I deal with that 40 years ago.
That's been admitted to eat meat.
That's right.
Look, good.
You better check Jane Goodall. She was the white woman who told you about the motherfucking apes. She just failed that years ago.
Good. See, I didn't know about it. I wanted you to speak to that. I'm sure if anybody had the answers, it would be you. So go ahead. That the chimpanzees and the gorillas eat meat. The lady who wrote the book, Gorillas in the Mist. I think that's her, right?
Jane Goodall.
Right.
That white bitch knows she made love to them chimpanzees and them gorillas.
I know she did. I also happen to have seen a picture of a white woman in the woods with a chimp with no clothes on. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I think that's what they're doing.
They try to show you that in the 30s with King Kong.
Yep. That's what they try to do.
White women been looking for gorilla dick for years. They just started.
that dude named Steve Irwin, that crocodile hunter, what's his name?
The one that got ate up by the stingray.
He was in at a zoo in some kind of habitat with a gorilla, a female gorilla, and the gorilla was going through the mating ritual with it.
Right.
And I was like, I was watching, I was like, what's going on? What they doing? They can't just man. She was like, yeah. And he was like, that gorilla wants to take my eye and tell that cave. I was like, hold on, man. Y'all doing something over there with this gorilla.
Chimpanzees primarily eat fruit, but they will eat meat. They'll eat another chimpanzee. Motherfuckers, when they die out, they eat them. No big deal.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay, well, I'm thinking they regular that they eat birds or something like that, you know, occasionally. Like you said,
they do.
Yeah.
Occasionally they do. What I'm saying, they will eat meat. They are not primarily meat eaters, but they will eat meat. And that's a direct correlation to where the eyes are.
Right.
Same way with gorillas. Gorillas eat shit. Gorillas probably eat 100 pounds of insects, man.
Wow.
A day. They ain't nothing but meat.
Right.
We don't think of that as meat and protein.
Right. The Bible tells you about eating crickets. It's meat. Right. They eat. Right.
Yeah. But they will eat whatever because, and especially the gorillas we have now that are on these preserves. They then starve these gorillas out and they hunted them down. They hardly have anything to eat but damn near each other when they die out there on these, what they call them places.
Wildlife reserves or something.
Preserves, right. And the ones in the few that you may find in the wild, they're killing them all. You see what I'm saying? But the bigger thing of that is that the type of protein that you get is what causes that type of evolutionary look that we see, which is the eyes in front of the head. That means that you're getting a level of, you're getting a type of protein or meat protein, and that's where that comes from.
And
you primarily eat grass and all that. It don't matter what animal. You find them, pick them out. You'll see primarily where their eyes are going to be. Giraffe, side of the head. Deer, side of the head.
Right.
You're going to see that over and over again.
Right. And I was saying about mentioning the gorilla and the chimpanzee, they are not, they don't have a predator.
No, they don't really have no predator. Except
no
for man.
Predator. Right. Right. So I'm just saying, like, man, right. So
right.
I was trying to try to pull home. Yeah,
now let's look at it again. Look at that big motherfucking elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this motherfucker, eyes on the side. Big as he is, big old soft motherfucker.
Right.
He can hurt you. Any animal, if they trap, they're going to try and protect themselves. But as big as this motherfucker is, what he has going for him is not that he's vicious, but the fact that the motherfucker is 5,000 pounds.
Right.
So this is how nature has protected him or her, so that even though they primarily eat leaves and hay and shit, don't nobody fuck with them because they big as an Empire State Building.
Right.
So, but that's their built-in protection, but they will be, a lion would jump on that motherfucker in a hurry if he hungry enough.
Right.
And lions and mons and them tigers, they don't give a fuck. You see?
Right.
But that's how. But you can see what I'm saying. So this is the type of logic and things that you can start looking at when people start talking about what's vegan and what's vegetarian, who eat meat and whatnot. Let's kind of like take a little bit and look at it in nature a little bit and see what that shows you about that. You take a rabbit, where are his eyes?
Right.
Side of the head. That motherfucker eat leaves and carrots and all kind of shit all day long and shit every 30 seconds. Every 30 seconds. Look, I don't want to. Look, if I got to shit every 30 seconds from eating, I don't want to be a vegan. Because they always, you need to go to the bathroom 3 times a motherfucking day. No, I don't, nigga. Once every 2 days is good enough for me. Every time I look for you, you ever call a nigga, every time you talk to him, they in the bathroom, damn, that's some vegan motherfuckers. You in the bathroom again, nigga? Boy, you been eating, you better get a burger in your shit.
Need some activated charcoal to slow it down.
Something. Slow your ass up, nigga, because you going to shit to death.
Nah, I like to transition that over into this, like, that charcoal and melanin. Can you share with us about how we generate melanin, how we can increase our melanin, you know, with sunlight, you know, at the peak time, day between 10 a.m. and 2, sunbathing, moon bathing, and all of that good stuff. Can you share with us about that?
Well, you know, there's in every cell, you know, in your body, you have a form of carbon, you know what I mean, which
right.
could be akin to activated charcoal, for real, because activated charcoal, we're just really talking about carbon, and carbon is one of the other main ingredients that hold your body together. In other words, if you start losing carbon, you're getting ready to see spontaneous combustion. That's when the carbon starts being threaded out of your system and out of your cells, and they really can't hold together. You know, so it's like iron kind of grounds you, and carbon kind of keeps you together. You got to have carbon in your blood. I mean, it's when you're talking about melanin. I like what Dr. Sabi said about this. He says there's no such thing as melanin. We're only talking about carbon. Carbon was a word made up in the late 70s by a white dude, a German named Bohr. And he was studying carbon up in these motherfucking laboratories. And he called it that because melanin was a form of a color in the ancient days. You know, it just meant dark. You know, so it was melanos. And the real word that had been around for years out of the periodic table elements was carbon. But he gave it his fancy name and saying he was studying melanos in his papers. And a reporter got a hold of this story some type of way. I used to remember the cat's name. I can't remember it now. But it was a brother. He got a hold of this story and started talking about all the wonders of melanin and all of that, and the thing damn near took on an urban legend status. Then we start hearing about all of this melanin and all of the benefits of it. But he was really just talking about carbon all the time. Same motherfucker. But it, nevertheless, a lot of it is true. I mean, you know, if you got melanin, if you got carbon, you can see that because of the level of carbons that nigga have in their bloodstream, it gives you, you know, comparatively to how the white man sees the superhuman power. So now, the strange thing about this is that going all the way back to slavery, when you had what niggas used to have, what they call drapetomania, which was a fear of being a slave or some shit, they called. They said a nigga had, because he didn't want to be a slave and was running away from slavery, they called that drapetomania, right? Ain't that something?
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? But they was carving niggas open back then.
Right.
Right? They was carving niggas open back on the plantation way back in the 1840s, 30s, 20s, all of that shit for years, trying to figure out what is it that made these motherfuckers have such big noses and shit. Why come they can breathe and we can't hardly breathe? What's with this motherfucker? So they start cutting niggas open way back then, and they learned, and they wrote about it. You can read the shit online. Damn it. I can't even think of the motherfucking name, the doctor who did it, but if you get drapetomania, he's the motherfucker that coined the phrase. He was a plantation doctor. And long story short, he started writing that he noticed that the nerves, bone density, and all of that shit in these niggas was bigger than white folks. And he couldn't believe it. Now, he was trying to write it as though there was something wrong with niggas because of that. But nevertheless, the point is that he noticed that we had high levels of bone density. You know what I mean? Our veins and things were bigger. All of that shit. You see what I'm saying? But that was a plus because every mineral that is needed here on the planet, niggas have more of. From, it don't matter what you're talking about. Iron, carbon, all of the periodic table elements. Niggas have more because the fact that we have carbon inside our bodies, and to have carbon, you need higher levels of all of the nutrients. The lower down the carbon chain you get, the less requirement of the nutrients that you have. So it's just like most of the sediment you find at the bottom of the milk or the barrel, and you find the skim on the top. It's the same way. Niggas are the sediment, white folks are the skin.
Right.
You see? Right. So we need all of that.
Thank you for clearing it up and showing how, you know, we are melanated. Melanin is mainly a form of carbon. And we appreciate you for illuminating our minds with the truth with regard to all these matters, veganism, nutrition, all that. And we appreciate you for coming on to African Conversations. Thank you, Dr. Mutwaz. And we thank you, audience, for tuning in.
Man, I love how you lose them big words. Appreciate it. It's been good being here.
And before we sign
illuminate
out,
me anytime,
did you, but before we sign out, could you tell everyone where they can get your books and your website, and where they can reach you to learn more about everything you just shared with us here?
Yeah, if they want to hear me run my mouth on a regular basis, they can always tune into my show, which is on blogtalkradio.com/manifeststation. Just like the word, manifest station, one word. They can just go to the site and type in my name, Dr. Mutwaz, MOOTWAHZ. For those who need to do consultation, 314-875-0482. And the nigga church is find that on the blog talk site. www.thenigachurch.org. THE for the NIGGA church.org. Thenigachurch.org.
All right. Well, thanks, Doc. And I appreciate you for sharing all your insights and all your wisdom with us tonight.
Yes, sir. Appreciate having
me. All right. Thank you all for listening to African Conversations. You can come back and join us again for another informative broadcast. Good night.
Peace.